Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
And welcome to midweek bonus number 5. And I've got some good news. It's a very self-centered piece of good news, but hey, let's take what we can get at the moment. And that is, I've had my latest set of exam results for my Royal Horticultural Society Level 2 exams. I did 2 units back in February, and that included the protected cultivation unit, which is all about houseplants. And I'm glad to say that I got a pass with commendation. So on both exams. So I'm really happy about that, and I'm relieved because it would have been very embarrassing not to get a pass with commendation on the unit about the very thing I make a podcast about. So I've got one more set of 2 exams to do, which were going to take place in June, but they've been delayed until September. And then I will have my RHS Level 2 diploma. So that's going to be very exciting. So I'm in a good mood this morning. I hope you've had some positivity in your life, whether that's a new unfurling leaf on your monstera, a new orchid flower, or perhaps you've spotted some peduncles on your Hoya, as I did this morning. Yes, my Hoya Matilde has a peduncle. It's a young plant, so I'm very excited about finding out what those flowers look like. So, in midweek bonus number 5, I'll be answering a question about buying houseplants from big box stores. We will be hearing from listener Lynn. And we'll be ending this little bonus with a song about houseplants. Yes, another one. My thanks to Jenny, Kerry, German and Mina, who have all become legends by signing up to make a regular donation on Patreon, and to Sophia, who has become a crazy plant person. Thank you to all of you, and I know that some of you who are new to Patreon at the legend and superfan level are really enjoying all the back catalogue that you can listen to once you've totally caught up with the main podcast. So thank you for your support, and keep on commenting and liking those posts because it lets me know what things you are particularly into. And I'm answering a question from Callie in this midweek bonus. Callie wrote to say, I was wondering if you had any thoughts on buying houseplants from places like Lowe's and Home Depot. I'm not sure if you have an equivalent store in the UK or if that would be IKEA. I'm wanting to get more houseplants because it's springtime, but because of the virus, I can't go into any nurseries in Nashville. I have 2 succulents from Home Depot that have lived with me for almost a year. I just thought it'd be nice to hear your thoughts on plants from those stores. Great question, Callie, and particularly relevant at the moment. Here in the UK, I think there are a few places you can probably still pick up houseplants in person. I think there's a store called B&M that's open. I haven't been in there, so I wouldn't know personally, but I'm pretty sure they've got bedding plants, if not houseplants at the moment. So, big box stores and houseplants. What do I think? Well, first of all, I would say that I have certainly bought plants from those kind of places in the past. I have been lured in by seeing something that I really wanted and have bought them because they were there and because I wanted them. So I'm not going to condemn anybody that goes down that route. Certainly, the issues that you need to be aware of are the fact that generally in those stores, the plants are not being cared for as they would be in a boutique houseplant shop or a garden centre or a nursery, because the staff, A, they're not given any time to devote to these plants, and B, they've got no expertise. So if you can go into those shops and buy something that's come straight off the delivery truck, then that's the best way to buy them, because they will be fresh and they won't have had a chance to be overwatered or underwatered or abused in any way. The other thing to say about those plants is that obviously you're giving money to a massive, probably multinational company, rather than giving money to a local nursery that might have been in a family for generations, or an independent business person who set up a houseplant shop. And if possible, where I can, I prefer to give my money to local businesses or nurseries that have been established for a long time, rather than that money just flying out the door to a multinational. That's another reason to avoid those big box stores. The other consideration is that I have heard reports that some of those plants are being bought by people, particularly Calatheas and Marantas, and those kind of plants which are so popular and so admittedly so cheap in those stores, to find that you get it home and it's already got spider mite. So obviously it's a kind of a pile 'em high mentality. The plants aren't being monitored and the plants are packed together. Ideal conditions for spider mite to spread. So while I'd say that you need to quarantine any plant that you get, I would be particularly careful with plants from big box stores, because the staff there just aren't going to be looking for problems and dealing with them. The plants are just going to die or be sold. So that's something else to be aware of. The other thing is that if you go into a boutique houseplant shop or a nursery, you will have the staff on hand to give you expert advice. That is definitely worth having. And oftentimes you'll find that those smaller stores have more of a concern about reducing plastic packaging and other sustainability issues, so that hopefully your mark on the planet as a result of buying that plant is a little bit smaller. So at this time, at the moment, obviously it's very difficult. If your local houseplant shop is offering some kind of delivery service, then I would definitely try to support them. But I do appreciate right now there's a lot of strain on everybody. And if you see a beautiful plant when you're out doing your grocery shopping, then you're going to buy it. And that's understandable. So there isn't really a right or wrong answer, Callie. I think you need to do your research and try to spend as much of your money as possible on those experts who are running houseplant businesses and really have the expertise. But yeah, we're all subject to the occasional impulse buy, and that's okay. Oh, and if you've got any thoughts on that matter, please do drop me a line and tell me. I'd love to know whether you have completely banned yourself from buying from big box stores, or perhaps that's the only place you do buy. I would love to know.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right, now we're going to meet listener Lynn. I hope you're enjoying these Meet the Listeners. They are proving very popular, and it's amazing how different the answers are to those same five questions that everyone gives. So I'm really, really enjoying hearing from all the different listeners, and there's still plenty of time to get involved. Just drop a line to ontheledgepodcast@gmail.com and my assistant Kelly will send you information on the simple way that you can take part. Right, now let's hear from Lynn.
My name is Lynn Kotafi, and I am speaking to you from the northeastern United States. I live in New Jersey, about 10 miles outside of New York City. And as you may or may not know, New Jersey is known as the Garden State because of all the produce that comes from us here. I actually come from a long line of gardeners and houseplant lovers. My grandfather had an amazing urban garden, and we grew up eating lots of fresh vegetables, including, of course, Jersey tomatoes. And my aunt had a garden, and my uncle has an amazing garden as well. So we are gardening people and definitely houseplant people. My great-grandmother and my grandmother had plants, lots of African violets. I remember my grandmother once telling me that plants grow better when they're touched and loved. So that's something I've tried to keep up with. And my mother always had houseplants, lots of spider plants, and she had marantas. We didn't call them marantas, we called them prayer plants, obviously. And I just loved how the leaves would open and close, and it fascinated me. So I recently purchased my first maranta, and it's doing quite well, so I'm following in her footsteps. I actually started collecting when I was a teenager. I believe my first plant was Ahoya carnosa, quickly followed by lots of peperomia. However, I soon after college moved to a smallish Manhattan apartment, and I adopted two cats, and I didn't have that many places to place the plants where the cats wouldn't eat them, so I stopped collecting for a while. Now I am in a house and I have plenty of room for my plants. So each room has at least one, more likely 10 plants in it. So I'm just adding and adding to my collection.
Question one, there's a fire and all your plants are about to burn. Which one do you grab as you escape?
If there were a fire in my house, the one plant I think I would grab is my Hoya pubicalyx, which is currently my favorite. I just love seeing those tiny little leaves come out, and the tendrils and the silver markings on it are just beautiful. And it's small enough so that I could actually make it out of the house on time.
Question two. What is your favorite episode of On the Ledge?
My favorite episode of On the Ledge would be the peperomia episodes, part one and two, with Sally Williams. I found them so lovely and informative and peaceful and calming, and I love peperomia. So I learned a lot. I was particularly interested in hearing about her technique for propagating peperomia, and so that was a really great episode.
Question three, which Latin name do you say to impress people?
Well, I don't know if this impresses people, but I just love the sound of peperomia obtusifolia. I think it has a nice ring to it, so I'm going to start using that to impress people.
Question four, crassulation, acid metabolism, or guaitation?
Guaitation for sure. I've seen this on some of my plants, and at first I thought I had a leaky ceiling, but then once I figured out that the ceiling was just fine and this was something that plants naturally did, I thought it was pretty awesome. So guaitation is my thing.
Question five. Would you rather spend £200 on a variegated monstera or £200 on 20 interesting cacti?
So I know this may be heresy for some people. I'm not a huge cacti fan, and even if I were, I don't know that I would have room for 20 cacti in my house, so I would go with the monstera. I have a monstera deliciosa, and I so enjoy seeing the leaves come in. They're just beautiful. And I saw a variegated monstera, a huge one, at my favorite nursery, and it was just absolutely stunning, but it was $2,000. So spending £200 on a variegated monstera, I think that's a bargain. That would be my choice.
To meet you, Lynn, and thank you for contributing to On the Ledge, because that's what this show is all about, you listeners. Just a reminder that if you want to see some, well, pretty much daily, not quite daily, but almost daily short videos from me, then follow me on Instagram at j.l.perrone. And as often as I can, I'm putting up Perrone's Plants, which is a little hashtag series of short videos about the plants I own with some care tips and me being a little bit silly. So if you're on Instagram, go and check that out. Perrone's Plants is the hashtag, and you can see in person some of the plants that I talk about on the show. I was contacted by Mark Truesdell, who is a songwriter and multi-instrumentalist whose song I Love My Plants was first recorded in the mid-90s. and has apparently been a consistent favourite at his live shows over the last couple of decades. And Mark sent me this track, and I thought that you might like to hear it too. So here it is in full to end this midweek bonus, I Love My Plants. Find out more about Mark's music at spiralsmusic.com, and I'll include that link in the show notes. I'll see you again on Friday when we will be joined by Maria Fiella of Bloom and Grow Radio for a little chat between houseplant podcasters. Can't wait. Bye.
I love my plants, they are green and full, like a fat old friend that I had for years. And I speak to them, they whisper back. Shot glasses, then I dig them in the dirt. I love my plants. Yeah, I love my plants. When I meet someone at a party and I don't know much about them, and I find out they love vegetation, well, I would trust them to be my friend. Then I dig them in the dirt. I love my plants. Yeah, I love my plants. Yeah, I love my plants. Yeah, I love my plants. Once a plant went and died on me, so I took it out and buried it. And in the spring, in that same spot, the man that I once knew. I grow little shoots and shot glasses, then I dig them in the dirt. In the dirt, I love my plants. Yeah, I love my plants. Yeah, I love my plants. Yeah, I love my plants.
The music you heard in this episode was Roll Jordan Roll by The Joy Drops, which is licensed under Creative Commons, and I Love My Plants by Mark Truesdell. For details on both tracks, visit the show notes at janeperrone.com.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more, made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.